You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station,
one day,
everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Starting today, we're partnering with change.org on a new initiative called Civic Dialogues. It sits alongside and certainly complementary to the Strive to Thrive strategic plan, the annual resident satisfaction survey that we do. And I can explain a little bit of how that's different, the annual survey in this.
So the city is looking at, well, not looking at, actually engaging in a different kind of tool to basically engage you with the issues that you are concerned about for the city and then for you to engage with each other in talking about those. It's not a petition at change.org. It's a feedback portal for your concerns about the city and then your thoughts about other people's concerns about the city.
Starting today through October 12th, all residents of Pensacola have the opportunity to share their ideas for positive change in Pensacola and respond to their neighbor's suggestions. And that's at ideasforchange.org/Pensacola. So that site is live right now. And looking forward and appreciate our media partners getting the word out. Just like the strategic plan, we want as much feedback as we can get. That's why we're going through this.
Yeah, well, that's my job. Here we are sharing it with you. Of course, the day after D.C. Reeves does the press conference yesterday on a Thursday, kind of an odd. He was out on vacation or out of the town anyway on Wednesday. That's why we didn't have him on the air with us, and also, you know, why he did his normal press conference yesterday. The first issue yesterday when I looked it up at, again, it's ideasforchange.org/Pensacola. The first thing that came up yesterday was a question about flock cameras. Today's one, or the one that shows up this morning, is better public education to produce a workforce with mindsets and incomes to revitalize character, homes, and neighborhoods. Change the culture of schools to positive encouragement for every individual to increase attendance and test scores. That's pretty broad-ranging. Sounds like the kind of thing that an expert politician or a professional communicator did not write. Which means that it's citizen-driven, and that's the whole idea. And then you have a little feedback loop where you can either hit disagree or hold down if you disagree strongly. You can agree or hold down if you agree strongly, or you have a middle option of pass. So it's kind of a – I interpret this as a 1-to-5 scale. You know, the 3 is the eh. You know, 4 is a woo. 5 is a yeah. I think it'd be cool if they put the sound effects with it, but they don't. Then you can add a brand new idea, and then there's some kind of conversations and questions down at the bottom. So, I don't know how useful this thing is going to be, but it's something. And I like the idea of the city trying to engage people in a little bit different way from the way they've done it in the past. The city's been very active, certainly under Mayor Reeves, and even prior to that, and going out of its way to get public input on all kinds of things and, you know, doing a weekly press conference is not something that's always existed. You know, Grover started that and, you know, DC didn't have to keep doing it, but he did, you know, and of course it's always interesting. So what are they going to do with this stuff? Well, the portal runs through October 12th. So you've got a month and a little bit, you know, month and 8 days before you can get your input in. And then they're going to put all that together and then they're going to come back with an in-person kind of discussion in November.
After October 12th, change.org will identify the submitted topics that resonate the most with all of our participants, and then they'll actually assemble a group of residents from across the city for a virtual discussion to help them develop into actionable proposals. So that is tentatively planned, and I underscore tentative. Obviously, we got to see how the process plays out, but that it would be planned for November 10th.
Okay, so assuming, you know, nothing substantial changes or it doesn't become weird or they get enough responses, because if, you know, they only get 16, they're probably not going to do it. But if they get 6,000, yeah, probably will. Okay. So, you know, that's out there. If you want to go visit the website, it's ideasforchange.org /Pensacola. Just, you know, type it all out just like I just said it. Now, the mayor was also asked yesterday about the Flock cameras, which, of course, we had a long conversation about that. And we talked extensively about this with, you know, Sheriff Simmons and Sheriff Johnson and Chief Winstrom. And this week, even, we've had extensive conversations about it because, as you know, everything changed on Monday when the governor came out and said, no, this is bad. FDOT issued a rule taking away the permission to use their rights of way to have these cameras. And all of our local law enforcement agencies said, yep, we're done. Flip the switch off. And so that's where we are in a sort of a post-Flock world here in the panhandle. But not everybody. You know, there are other agencies in the state that are not turning them off. Or, I mean, they're obeying the governor. They still have 30 days. That could, you know, that's not even an impending thing. That's still quite a ways out there. What, 26 days out, 27 days out? And so, but they're, you know, they can do it on city roads. They can do it on county roads. Just can't do it on state roads in, again, you know, 3 weeks from now, basically. But he was asked about this because Chief Winstrom told me that it was basically his initiative after seeing everything that had happened, including the comments by the governor about, in COVID times, what would have been done with these cameras and his own experiences that he told us in Chicago, being told to go disperse the protesters who were breaking the COVID rules by protesting their government. And Chief, when he was working in the Chicago Police Department, said, ooh, you want me to go violate people's First Amendment rights in order to enforce a dubiously legal order against public gatherings? And so by the time they, you know, I guess they had a lot of internal discussion, and by the time they even showed up, it had dispersed already. Within, what did he say, a day or two was the George Floyd killing? And then they had massive protests, and the same mayor of Chicago said, oh, yeah, let it be. It's all fine. And which was his indication that, you know, sometimes it very much depends on which politician is in office and what rules they want to enforce and whether they will consistently do the right thing. And the answer is no. So can you trust them with the technology? Well, you know, maybe not. By the way, in this conversation about Flock cameras, it is interesting because what it's basically being styled as is privacy, or as I've said, it's not so much privacy, but freedom of movement without government intrusion, oversight, or even awareness, right? It's that on the one side versus public safety, meaning protecting you from crimes that might be done against you or people you love by other citizens. That's missing a dimension that I think is important. In my mind, it's actually one kind of public safety against another kind of public safety concern. Because when I think of the capability of people to do me harm, obviously that's right now and that's pretty vivid. An individual can do me harm. But when I think about what America's all about, it's protecting us against the government. You know, you have a system of restrictions in our Constitution that is designed to limit what the government can do. Well, those limitations mean bad things can happen because the government cannot invade your privacy without a warrant, which means they can't solve and prevent crimes that they would otherwise be able to do. You know, they cannot force you to compel to testify against yourself in a court of law, which is a way of convicting people and protecting me from criminals and punishing them for what they've done. You know, as we've said many times, there's all kinds of law enforcement functions that the police cannot engage in and that the government cannot engage in. Police is one element of the government. The state attorney is another element. The justice system, the jails, the judges are all another element. Okay, your right to a trial by a jury is another example of a limitation on government. You know, if a government just wanted to do bench trials, they could do it pretty quickly. Wouldn't take very much time, wouldn't have the opportunity for one person to hang a jury because they disagree with the other 12 people like we're seeing now in the Lindsey Clancy trial. I mean, you know, like having jury trials is a limitation on government punishing, solving crimes, right? And yet you take that as a granted that you are entitled to that protection against bad government. Well, why are we concerned about bad government? Because we've seen tens of millions of people killed and tortured and imprisoned by their own governments in the last 100 years. This was a possibility that happened once in a while in England and under other governments in the late 1700s when we were writing our Constitution. It turns out to be an incredibly prescient concern. Prescient means knowing the future and thinking about it, okay? That our founding fathers and the history that they had seen in some governments up to that point, they recognized what tyranny sort of looked like. But they had no idea that communism was going to come by. That's, you know, socialism with a gun. I don't know how else you want to describe it. Socialism becomes communism when they actually get the power. Okay, so don't buy the line that all these democratic socialists are saying is, oh, we'll have nice socialism. Yeah, every time it's ever come into being, communists started off as nice-sounding democratic socialists. And then, lo and behold, the proletarians, you know, the proles, if you want to read 1984, the proletariat, if you read Marx, they revolted, they took over, they killed a bunch of people getting there, and then once they had the power, they killed a lot more people. So what we were worried about then has become a reality under, you know, 20th century governments and 21st century governments. So we're worried about that eventuality. What could a totalitarian government do with this surveillance network, right? That's another kind of public safety concern. It's not pressing right now. You know, right now we're worried about kidnapped kids and school shootings and drive-bys and drug deals and human trafficking and how shutting off these cameras will harm people. It will allow people to be harmed. Okay, I am certain of that. I think you ought to be open-eyed about that and say we won't solve crimes, we won't prevent crimes, and we won't get back people before they're killed. Right? That's a reality. But that's not being balanced against some nebulous, weird, like, I just want privacy to do what I want to do. It's I want privacy and I don't want government watching me, because we have learned that when government has those abilities, it uses them in very awful ways. Not every time, but often enough that we just don't trust anybody, no matter how good they are, with that kind of power, because other people can get in charge, and even good people can abuse power if they're given too much of it. So, long-winded way of saying, it's public safety of one kind against public safety of another kind. Worry about crimes from citizens, worried about crimes from the government. The most dangerous kind of crimes that America basically wrote our system to deal with. All right, so yesterday, again, Chief Winstrom, he along with, you know, Sheriff Simmons and Sheriff Johnson and Chief Hawthorne, Gulf Breeze, they all made the same decision on Tuesday that they were going to deactivate the flock cameras of all sorts. He, of course, went and talked to D.C. before he did it, which was, I mean, of course, it's your boss. And D.C.'s answer is, hey, you're the police chief. I did this in the first place because the police came and asked me for it. And I thought it was kind of a, you know, easy thing to do. No brainer. They told me it was good. Let's do it. Now, the governor has said something different, and my police chief is coming to me and saying, we don't need it. We got some concerns. We're turning them off. Easy peasy.
Bottom line for me is, you guys have heard it enough. For me, public safety, we're never going to negotiate on that being the number one issue of this administration. You know, any way that we can keep our citizens safe, our visitors safe, that's what we're going to do. And where do we derive those decisions? We derive them from our police chief. And at a greater sense, we derive them from our sheriff. And those are two people that I have extreme, extreme confidence in making the right decisions that balance the community and balance safety, whether that be a curfew, whether that be the decision yesterday. I'm fortunate that I can have the confidence that I have in our chief to be able to say, hey, whatever those public safety decisions are, I've got your back.
Absolutely. And, you know, what did Chief say to us? He said that D.C. is one of the, you know, the best mayor he's ever worked for, and he loves the trust that he gives him. And what does D.C. say? Chief is a great chief, and I'm glad to have his back. I made a great hire, probably one of the best decisions he's made as mayor, he said. And, you know, I tend to agree, and Chief has turned out to be a great chief so far. I mean, it's not been a long time, but, you know, so far, you know, A+. And so this is an easy enough decision for him to defer to his law enforcement experts on the matter. And again, just to, I think it's really important that the way this conversation is being typically framed is government versus privacy, you know, or public safety versus privacy. And I think you ought to think of it as public safety of one sort versus public safety of another sort, the threat from people versus the threat from government, and also sort of philosophical concerns about privacy. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty sold 206 homes in the calendar year of 2025, and they sold 270 homes in the last 12 months. So a pace which had been, I mean, when they were in, like, when times were rough, and by rough, I just mean a lot of realtors were really struggling to sell homes for the last couple of years. You know, prices were up, and interest rates were up, and people were skittish about the economy. And they, at that time, you know, like 23, 24, they were selling about 3 a week, which is still an enormous, we're talking like 170 a year, okay? That's still an enormous number of homes. But it's just accelerated. They have figured something out. And they are selling home after home after home after home because they know how to get it done. They know how to navigate the hurdles and pitfalls that typically, you know, get in the way of getting a deal. And they're just getting a lot of folks into homes and out of homes for good prices in both directions. So if you want to take advantage of that expertise, give her a call. Yeah, here's what I always say. Don't hire her because I said so, but do call her because I said so. Call her and find out, and then you judge for yourself what you want to do. You know, realtor is a big part of a big decision in your life, what you do with a home. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
I'm still going for it. Even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation, an irregular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. In a clinical study, Eliquis apixaban reduces stroke risk and has less major bleeding than warfarin.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Ask your doctor about the number one cardiologist prescribed blood thinner, Eliquis.
Making it to work on time? No points. Holding the door? Still no points. Remembering trash day? You guessed it, no points. But with the Penn Air Rewards MasterCard, you can get 20,000 points and no balance transfer fees for opening a new card and doing your everyday shopping. Every swipe after, more points, more rewards, more reasons to swipe. Start earning today at pennair.org/creditcards. 20,000 bonus points awarded to new rewards cardholders after the qualifying spend in the first 90 days. Insured by NCUA.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Even the mere mention of the word is sufficient to induce panic.
Tomato.
We didn't know about a worldwide web was a whole different game being played.
You know, I always feel like when he says that about me, you know, Andrew McKay of the Pensacola Morning News, I feel like Huey Lewis in the news, like, I'm going to have my backup band come out, and here's the news with me.
No, you would listen to the music on the AM radio.
You know, we don't say it very often because it's not our primary branding, but we are still on AM 1620, and there are a lot of you who listen on AM 1620 for various reasons, long-standing habit, the coverage is a little bit better. Yeah, you don't mind a little bit more staticky signal, but it is a broader area that's covered by AM 1620. We always talk about News Radio 92.3 because that's the FM that's, you know, right in the heart of Pensacola and it's best in this area. But also 95.3 is a different signal that you can also listen to us on, more so for the west and north of Escambia County. Of course, online, you know, you can stream us all over the place. I mean, basically every platform. So anyway, just some different ways. And on digital 98.7 channel, two or three, PJ, I can never remember which one it is. Is it three or two? We're on Cats Digital. Cat Country 98.7, our sister station, has a digital HD, and we are on there as well. It's 98.7.3 or .2, and I just always forget which one it is. So you didn't know that? Well, now you know.
I did not know that.
There you go. See? Look, we're all over the place. What was I going to tell you? I don't know. If you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, excellent selection, good quality used cars. And I always think that, you know, the prices are good. The cars are good. They warranty their late model cars to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whichever comes first. They're going to be a couple years young, you know, low miles, one owner, maybe two, typically is very common for them. Our car was one owner. But that's just the stuff they sell. It's the way they sell it that's different. And, you know, I've bought half dozen cars in my life. I have to think about between me, my wife, all that. And typically the experience is some degree of unpleasant. And I don't just mean the built-in unpleasantness of having to go look and shop and compare and think and price and all that. I mean just dealing with the people. if you're in car sales, God bless you. But, you know, look, most people don't enjoy their interactions with you an awful lot. It makes you feel icky. Well, at Frontier, I just didn't have that experience. They were fantastic. They were, you know, generous. They were like friends. They weren't pushy. They didn't manipulate me, you know, the way it's always done everywhere else. So go to Frontier. Look around. Great selection. Lots of good cars. Buy one or tell them to go looking for the one that you want. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. You know, something clicked with me yesterday, and I don't know, it's not really a news story, but it made me laugh a little bit. We have a lot of local activist Facebook pages on social media that are, what's the word I want? Super biased, but they pretend to be news. Okay. And I don't pretend to be neutral. I have opinions. You know that, but I always try to tell you as many of the facts as I can and give you both sides. I see this all the time. It's especially true in Santa Rosa County that there's a lot of Facebook pages out there who, you know, very selectively edit something to manipulate the conversation in a certain direction, to push you a certain way on issues or in general. And every time I see it, I'm like, man, that's not even journalism. It's terrible. Okay. It is propaganda. It is lying. But it occurred to me that these same people who I know either run or are a part of the groups that, you know, do this, like to criticize regular media for bias. And my thought was, you know, if you criticize traditional media for its bias or its errors, you know, newspapers, TV, radio, and you turn around and you consume social media like it's trustworthy, accurate, fair, and balanced, well, bless your heart. Because, wow. Talk about straining at a gnat to swallow the whale. Man, that is just crazy. We'll be back in just a minute.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. The judge in the Lindsey Clancy murder trial is going to hold an inquiry this morning after the jury sent a note saying 11 of them are in agreement, but there is one holdout that they say refuses to listen to the law regarding the legal standard of reasonable doubt.
The judge told the jury yesterday reasonable doubt does not mean proof beyond all possible doubt, and that jurors must have an abiding conviction to a moral certainty that something is true.
Fox's Nate Foy. Americans headed out for the long Labor Day weekend, but there could be some sticker shock at the gas pump as the war with Iran continues.
Travelers are facing the highest gas prices ever for this time of year. AAA says the national average for a gallon of gas is more than $4 as volatility in the Strait of Hormuz drives up the cost of crude oil.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, 76 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. We'll get to a look at our forecast from Channel 3, and that's up here in just a couple of minutes. Well, a Milton man is facing charges about 10 months now after a fatal hit and run on Old Baghdad Highway. Troopers say Jared Phelps fled the scene after his SUV struck and killed a female pedestrian back in November. Investigators say they later found that vehicle at his home and identified him as the driver. Phelps was arrested on Tuesday while leaving work and booked into the Santa Rosa County Jail on charges of leaving the scene of a crash involving death. Now, police officers are often the first on the scene at a house fire, sometimes arriving minutes before the fire department does. PPD spokesman Mike Wood says he's been pushing for the department to purchase a new device that he thinks could change what happens in those critical moments.
And this device, when you pull the pin on it and throw it into an active fire, whether it's one room or two rooms, doesn't really matter. It will release in 8 seconds an aerosol that does not take oxygen out of the room or out of the building. So if there are people trapped in there, it does not deplete the oxygen like other things do that's similar to this.
And Wood says he first saw this device called a fire suppression tool on his own and got one for himself. Now he's pushing to see it added to city budgets. He says officers are already carrying several life-saving devices like Narcan and AEDs in their vehicle. He doesn't think it would take long for this device to save lives here as well. And it is 5:33 here at News Radio 92.3. Well, State Representative Michelle Salzman says clearer rules could soon govern license plate reader cameras across the state as agencies statewide are pausing their use following growing privacy concerns.
It is a good tool. The conversation is privacy.
Salzman tells Channel 3 that lawmakers need to establish guardrails covering who can use license plate readers, who can access the data, and where cameras can be placed. So far, no timeline has been set for when that legislation could be filed. 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Saturday, 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 92. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into your Sunday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 91 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 76 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. The Treasury Department and the IRS have proposed new regulations ending federal tax-exempt status for thousands of private schools that use race to influence things like admissions or student aid. Such a move would cut the tax break people get for donating to private universities and could impact scholarships for students of those schools. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the rules are aimed at rooting out racial discrimination in the U.S. education system. Shares of Lululemon are down 18% pre-market after the retailer reported another quarter of disappointing earnings. The athleisure clothes maker says revenue dropped 4% as it saw a greater than expected slowdown in some of its most important products, like leggings. On Wall Street, futures are mixed as traders await the release of new jobs data this morning. Economists expect the report to show a slow summer of job growth, with only about 50,000 new jobs believed to have been created in August. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Sportsman's Night Out is back September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center featuring bass fishing legend Hank Parker. Tickets are only $10 and can win you prizes like hunting trips, weapons, a brand new camper, a tractor, four-wheeler, a brand new car, and so much more. Brought to you by partners like Carpenter's Campers, Parrish Tractor, Benton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church. For more information, visit sportsmansnightout.com. That's Sportsman's Night Out September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news, right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. And joining us by phone now, we have Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department and a very, very capable one at that, I will tell you. In fact, we're going to get to that in just a second. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. You were out last week. You were at a national PIO training, NIOA. What is NIOA?
National Information Officers Association.
So it's their version of a PIO, public information versus, okay, all right, fair enough. So that's you, and were you leading the training for the nation like we always say you should be?
I appreciate that, but no, not at all. There were about, I think there's about 1,000 of us in the organization. There were probably between 600 and 800 at the conference and from all over the country discussing things that are going on right now. Things are not just happening in Pensacola, but all over the place, such as flock and curfews and team takeovers. We went over all of that stuff. And then we heard about things that went bad, like the floods in Texas, how the communication was good in some places and bad in other places, not only there, but New Orleans. And so the reason for that training is to get us into situations or listen to situations that have already happened to find out what worked and what did not work communications-wise and make sure it doesn't happen in Pensacola.
All right, and I'm gonna tell people, because this is not just like fluff talk. This is like everyone here in Pensacola who is in media knows that Mike is at the top of the skill chart. And I'm going to tell all the other communications people something that Mike does that makes him so valuable. I'm going to brag on you for a second. You have learned how to think like we do, which means that you know we are going to be interested in something. And whenever something that fits that category happens, you put out the information to all of us who are in the media. And you kind of early warning announce it to us because you are always thinking basically like a TV newspaper radio producer, and that means that you push information to us ahead of time in order to proactively inform us, and so we know we can count on you. And then of course you're obviously very responsive, but I think that is one of the best things you do is to actively think, what do we want to know, and then don't have to wait for us to ask for it, but tell everybody here's what's going on. So I love that you do that. You're not, nobody else does it quite that way. Other people do it to a degree.
Well, that's training. I mean, we have to know what's newsworthy and what's not. That's one reason for it. The other one is in today's climate with the social media, if I don't get ahead of the narrative and get the information out there to the people we serve, I mean right now, then keyboard warriors can take over on social media and put out just crazy things that unbelievably get traction. And once you fall behind the narrative, it's very hard to catch up and pass it. So what we do or what you're supposed to do is get that information out to the people as fast as possible. And sometimes it's not accurate. You want it to be. So you're very limited in what you can say at first until more facts come in. But you want to get out ahead of the story. That's the goal.
So true. You're pre-disqualifying bad information by putting out good information. You create trust with the community by communicating early and often and acknowledging when you make mistakes and doing that as well. But look, the first person to talk controls the narrative, and silence is not a form of communication. Silence is losing. Keeping your mouth shut means you lose the conversation in the public. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, the first, and when you go to these schools, the first day, the first thing that's said is no comment is not an option.
That's right, because no comment doesn't help. It gets perceived the wrong way, and ask Skanska how no comment worked if you really want to see it in action. All right, what else do we have going on? Oh, you have not a lot of, high-profile incidents in the city, so I will always take that for the win that it is, but you had a thing on your personal page that you were promoting a fire suppression tool. Tell me what this is.
So it's called a fire suppression tool, an FST. It's a box that contains an aerosol. And I have a history with a house fire earlier in my career. So I take fires very seriously. I take officers responding to them very seriously. And a lot of times officers respond to house fires and commercial structure fires long before the fire department gets there. Well, not long before, but in the city, we're very lucky. They will be there in just a minute. But we get there first. And this device, when you pull the pin on it and throw it into an active fire, whether it's one room or two rooms, doesn't really matter. It will release in 8 seconds an aerosol that does not take oxygen out of the room or out of the building. So if there are people trapped in there, it does not deplete the oxygen like other things do that's similar to this. But it will put this fire out, knock this fire down, I should say, in about 30 seconds. It's unbelievable. There's YouTube videos out with this device working. And I saw this thing and I had to have it. So We got one, and the reason I did that is to hopefully prime the pump and make people aware, make governments aware that this is something, you know, we already have Narcan in the cars, we have defibrillators in the cars, and if the officers could get one of these, and they're good for 15 years, and it doesn't matter how hot it is in the car or how cold it is in the car, it will not affect the device. But if we could get one of these sooner or later in every Pensacola Police Department's cruiser, I think that it will save lives and property, and it won't take long for that to happen.
So it's like an anti-fire grenade. You literally pull the pin, throw the little orange box in the room, and it will knock down or stop the fire within 30 seconds. I mean, where's Chief Craner on this? I mean, I assume you've talked to them, but, like, this sounds like it wouldn't necessarily replace pumper trucks, but would be, like, first action. You know, the first thing you do is go.
Yeah, there's no way it replaces the fire department. No way at all. I mean, all it's going to do is knock down the fire long enough to hopefully for officers to get in and get people out or people get out on their own.
Yeah.
Or just to save property, to knock it down long enough for the fire department to get there and completely make sure the situation is taken care of.
Absolutely. You say it does not affect the oxygen in the room, which, of course, is a concern because you don't know what people might be in there and you don't want to suffocate them. I mean, the reason you're there is to protect them. Okay, but people and fires breathe the same thing, oxygen. And so if the thing suppresses a fire, how does it not also suppress human breathing? Like, what does it do? Do you know?
That's above my pay grade. So
okay.
I'll be honest with you. I can tell you that the aerosol is not harmful to humans, and it does not remove the oxygen. Now, getting into the chemistry is something way above me.
Okay.
But I know, and if you, when you get a chance to look at these videos, you'll see for yourself how fast this happens.
Okay. I mean, I'm fascinated. I've never heard of it before, so I appreciate the update. Any kind of technology that's going to save lives and, you know, save structures and, you know, give, as you say, first responders the ability to do something that you don't have to wait for the more capable, you know, second, let's call them responders. You know, if it's Narcan, you don't have to wait for the ambulance. You can go right now. I mean, that all makes perfect sense to me. Obviously, as you know, we've been talking a lot about about Flock cameras this week. And I do have some questions for you. One thing is, you had actually, this is another thing, you had posted on your Facebook page, and I know a lot of officers who are frustrated, might be a little bit strong, but I mean, some are frustrated because they love the Flock cameras, love what they do, how they solve crimes, and I know our local law enforcement leaders are in the same boat, but you had, and I think we should keep talking about this, and which, you know, get as much information as possible so that when we talk about what we do, we're informed, but you had a story about a particular way that Flock cameras solve something near and dear to your heart, a NASCAR-related, like a racing-related crime, right?
Yeah, it was Greg Biffle's family, his wife and his two small children and himself were killed in a plane crash back in December. And right after that, someone broke into his home and, knowing nobody was going to be there, and took a lot of trophies, cash money, and some other things. And eventually, a Flock camera was able to locate the suspect and arrest him. So it was just, you know, and there's so many wins with these cameras. It is frustrating to police officers. I know it's frustrating to the administration and all of that, what's going on. But we serve the people, and we have to listen to them. And if they're uncomfortable with the way Flock is operating in its current form, then we need to be, you know, we need to listen to that. So that's what's going on right now. And maybe changes will be made through legislation. Maybe this is something that needs to go on the ballot because people need to be policed the way, a community needs to be policed the way it wants to be. So maybe this is something that could go to the ballot one day. I don't know. But I don't know what the answer is. But I do know that this is a tool that is so good. And I know Chief Lindstrom and Sheriff Simmons have both expressed how huge this is for fighting crime. And hopefully we will be able to meet in the middle at some point, at some form, and get these cameras back online. But, but for now, our feathered felon finders are going to have to sit on the back burner until something changes.
Our feathered felon finders. It's funny because they're Flock. Okay. I appreciate that. As you say, people, as the chief has even said many times, people have to decide how we want to be policed. And, as somebody had said to me yesterday, I'm sure Savannah Guthrie wishes that there had been more Flock cameras around. You know, that's a very high profile story, but that's certainly true at all kinds of levels. And, gaps in the system are actually the biggest problem for some of these things, if the system were functioning. I did want to ask you, though, because one of the things you and I were talking a little bit before we got on the air here. And one of the questions is about who's controlling the data or who stores the data and to what degree that data is, available to private, to being hacked, to government. And how does that relate to things like, the NCIC system? So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, NCIC and David, which is information on driver's license and vehicles, are controlled by law enforcement. There's nobody in the private sector that has any access to that information. Officers have to be trained and retrained on both of those every year. And all officers know that that's something, that information is something that's not played with. You do not use that for reasons that you're not supposed to use it for. And if you do, you're going to lose your job. So I don't know if that's something that would make things better. If the flock data was ends up in the hands of law enforcement only, that may not change things at all for some people. But it does make a difference, I think, the fact that a private company has that information on people as opposed to information that we have, such as NCIC and David. That I don't know if it'll make a difference or not, but they're not even close as far as the security goes of that information.
We had a kind of a little story, but I like the little stories because they're kind of entertaining. We always like to say police, you never know what you're going to have to do on a given day. That's part of what makes the job interesting. It is still 80% super boring, but the 20% could be anything. PPD was called to rescue a pet pig recently. Is that right?
The officer saw the pig and knew something was wrong. So they were trying to get his attention. And this is the third time this has happened. We had one running around on the interstate. We had another one running on Garden Street. But those two absolutely did not want to get caught. This little guy here, or big guy, however you want to say it, they were able to get him into the car, but he didn't want to get out. It was hot that day. The car was air conditioned, and he didn't want to get out, and they had to lure him out with some double stuffed Oreos. And it
worked. So, not just pig capture, but pig guidance and, you know, motivation, essentially. So, some double stuffed Oreos went the way of, what'd you guys call them? Piggy Smalls? Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we end up with a name for all of them, depending on the situation that day. But yeah, he was reunited with his owner, and at the end of the day, everybody was happy.
Well, I mean, did you have to use cuffs?
Two pairs.
What's that? Two pairs?
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know, and this is one we've talked about before, but my God, if I have, I almost dread watching any kind of cop detective crime shows and movies because they're so full of stuff, let's just say. They're double stuffed with stuff. But this one just comes up over and over and over again. You know, the local police respond to a crime, the FBI shows up, or the ATF shows up, or the state police show up, and we're taking that case away from you. No, you're not. It's my case. We're not going to have this jurisdictional pissing match or whatever. Okay, what's the reality of this on the ground for cops?
When they show up and they want to take over a case, we will say, well, okay, then. You know, it's not something that we're going to get upset about. We work great with our federal and state counterparts, and that is not true. I mean, if somebody wants to come take over a case, I don't think you're going to get a lot of pushback from us or any other local agency. It's not like that. It's only like that on TV, but they have reasons for doing that. And a lot of times their jurisdiction and their reach is further, and the penalties can be more harsh. So, we get along with all of our partners, and even at the state, the local level, we all get along. We all have the same goal at the end of the day, and that doesn't happen in real life.
And nobody's looking, you know, nobody's underworked. Nobody's
no.
looking, you know, when somebody comes along and says, I'll take this workload away from you. Oh, no, you won't. That doesn't.
Yeah, when they say that, we're pushing the files right to them. Here they
are.
Go. Is there anything else we can get you, sir?
Thank
you. It's yours.
Thank you for giving me my life back. I appreciate it. All right. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for being you. Thanks for doing all the great things that you do, keeping us safe, keeping us informed. I'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with HR, you have to deal with payroll, you have to deal with benefits, which means figuring out, and probably every year you go through this, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. Do we keep doing what we're doing? Do we change? What do we do? Who can help? Torgerson Consulting can help. We've been using them for 5 years here at Cat Country and News Radio, and they have been fantastic. When we started using them, you know, Reed and, you know, his dad was still working with them at the time, they basically came in and they looked around at all the plans that were available, and they gave us choices. We didn't have that before. The plans were better than what we had before. And, you know, we saved money. We had better coverage. We had choices. It was just better. better customer service when we had questions. And my wife is an industrial engineer. You know, she's an efficiency expert. Like, she'll read the policy. Okay, she's that kind of person. And she'll ask questions. What about this? They had answers, or they would go find them and get right back to us. It was, I mean, genuinely, they're fantastic. I know you don't like thinking about these things, so call them. They like thinking about these things. They're really good at it, and they've been doing it for 25 years here locally. Since 2001, Torgerson Consulting has been helping businesses just like yours. Get a hold of them for a no-obligation review of what you're doing, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all, no duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Daniels looking, now thinking about running, flush to the right side, fires into the end zone, it's caught! It's sweet feet! Daniel Singleton Jr., touchdown! SMU!
Florida State faces nationally ranked SMU in an early season ACC matchup on Monday night. Primetime Labor Day coverage on the Seminole Sports Network.
FSU takes on SMU Monday at 6:30 p.m. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware and DeFranco Gas on News Radio 92.3.
You ever hear something in the news and think,
that can't be real?
MVR breaks it down weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Only two things scare me, and one is nuclear war.
What's the other?
Excuse me?
What's the other thing that scares you?
Carnies.
What?
Circus folk. Nomads, you know. Smell like cabbage.
Did you get man tested in the one day in the military that it was actually in place? Apparently, you know, the testosterone testing that the military was going to be requiring for all members for just one day to make sure that your testosterone levels hadn't declined after age 30. And you could optionally choose to do it if you're under the age of 30. That was in place for a day. And then they took it down and the webpage is file not found and they're revising the policy. So we'll see exactly what comes of all of this. Oops. Anyway, somebody had texted in. We were talking earlier about how the flock camera discussion, I think, I think almost every discussion that we have, people misunderstand to some degree, and that's why I'm here. I'm trying to help everybody understand. It's not so much public safety versus privacy as much as it is public safety versus a different kind of public safety, the threat from people versus the threat from government. And they said, but couldn't a totalitarian government, you know, an intrusive, terrible regime, reinstitute the flock cameras anytime they wanted to? Maybe, but we have the ability to be aware of that and potentially stop it. But also, you now have law enforcement who have come out, and said, no, this doesn't seem to be working well. And they'd have to work through somebody to put them in. And if law enforcement isn't willing to use it because law enforcement says the police don't want to be policed this way, well, that's the kind of thing that would thwart an otherwise misguided regime from being able to do dastardly things, which is ultimately what you count on. I mean, it's not the rules as they're written. There's the rules as they're enforced and lived and who's willing to participate. You know, who would collaborate with a totalitarian regime or an aggressive regime and who would resist them? We like to think everybody would resist, but, you know, history tells a different story, even about good countries that turn bad. But ultimately, that's your line of defense, is having good people in positions of power, maybe not the highest position of power, but enough lower positions of power to basically thwart them by, you know, not doing what they're told to do. Kind of like the cops in Chicago got told to go break up the protesters during COVID, and we're like, I don't think we're going to do that because they have a right to do that. That's kind of a core thing for America, and as police, we're here to protect their rights, not just obey your instructions. So anyway, but good question. I like that question. 437-1620. If you get locked out of your car, you can call Ace Unlocks. They started this back in 98 at UWF on letting people back into their cars, and that's why they called it Ace Unlocks. Smart name. Basically, out of two cars, a pager, and a payphone. Well, they still do that, but obviously the operation has grown significantly since then. And in fact, now getting people into their cars is not even the primary thing they do. The biggest source of business they have is key fobs. Cutting and programming all makes and models of all keys and all fobs. They have the same machines and computers that the dealerships do, but it's cheaper for them. And ask me how I know, because I got them to do a key for my Civic. I delayed getting a second key for my Civic for a long time. And then finally, I'm like, why did I wait so long? This is super convenient. And Ace Unlocks did it in like 10 minutes. I mean, it was super easy. Broken keys, damaged keys, second keys, it stopped working, whatever. They can take care of that. Residential locks, business locks, even programming your car control modules, if you like to work on your car, they can take care of that because they have, again, all the software. Just put your VIN in and they can get you exactly what you need. You can go by anytime at Airport and the Railroad Tracks, 125 Airport, or call them 24 hours a day, 505-7545. And if you mention my name, Andrew McKay, you get 10% off. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about some really interesting storm drainage things that the city of Gulf Breeze is working on. I think paying attention to what they're doing actually teaches us about how to solve stormwater issues all over the place. So it's kind of a fascinating conversation. And the Transgressors Memorial Service, the early service at 6:20, late service at 8:20. What is Brother Andrew talking about today? Pringles Dippers, Lake America, and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation refusing to call 9/11 a terrorist attack. Coming up next.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.